You're listening to Arena.
Eleanor Catton's first novel, The Rehearsal, was published in 2008 when she was 22. Last year, her second novel, The Luminaries, won the Man Booker Prize for Fiction, making her the youngest author and The Luminaries the longest book to win the prestigious prize. The story is set in 19th century New Zealand and the gold rushes. It has a large cast of characters and tells the story of mysterious events, perhaps influenced by the planets and the stars. Eleanor will be in Galway for Coorch this weekend, but she joins me now from London to talk about The Luminaries, I suppose, specifically. Eleanor, this is such an enormous book to try to even get a handle on. Maybe, I'm sure you've found a way of doing it since you've been talking about it quite a bit, but if we started with Walter Moody and what he discovers in the opening sections of the book.
Well, when he first arrives in this hotel on a storm-tossed night in the beginning of 1866 in New Zealand, he unwittingly walks into a number of conspiracies, mysteries, that this seemingly accidentally met group of men have found themselves associated with in various ways. So the mysteries are linked by virtue of the fact that they all occurred on the very same day. They've discovered a hermit living on his own very near to the town of Hokitika, which is still a goldfields town today, has been discovered dead in his cottage. A seemingly unremarkable event, were it not for the fact that soon after his death, an enormous fortune is discovered in his cottage, which obviously casts his death into a very doubtful light, both in its manner and in the very fact of it. On the same night, though, one of the town's wealthiest prospectors disappears, and nobody's quite sure where he's gone or whether he's been murdered or kidnapped. And also on the very same night, and within a couple of hours of these other two events, a prostitute in the town is discovered having been drugged with opium and lying in the thoroughfare completely insensible. So that's they're kind of three mysteries which are interlocked, and these 12 men are trying to figure out how they're interlocked and indeed why. Essentially, the Luminaries is a pretty straightforward murder mystery. That's the way I've been. It's kind of the simplest way to describe it, I guess. I was very intrigued by the kind of the classic detective story.
And indeed, if we try to go any further, we'll tell too much of the interlocking. So that's enough of the plot for us to deal with for the time being. But the 12 men. The interesting, or one of the interesting aspects of these 12 men is how they are linked, and this is all to do with the structure of the book, how the 12 men are linked into the signs of the zodiac. Tell me why you wanted to link these 12 to the zodiac in this fashion.
Well, it was born, I think. I mean, I think a lot of writers probably have this experience that sometimes the idea of a novel can be kind of negative or negatively charged in its origins, in the sense that as a writer you think of the book that you would want to read that doesn't quite exist yet, and you're frustrated that it doesn't exist yet in the world. And for me, that book that I'd never read and I wanted to read was a book which set itself a real challenge in terms of its structure. It struck me in my reading life, in the kind of years before I started putting the Luminaries together, that there was a big divide in the books that I was reading between books that were structurally complex but seemed to me to be quite often no fun or not very much fun, and then books that were plotted and a great deal of fun but didn't seem to be terribly interested in how they were formed or how they were structured. I wanted to see if I could bring those two together, very simply, to write a book that was plotted, and it was an adventure and it was a mystery and would, hold the reader's interest, but at the same time was ornate and architectural and even musical in the way that its structure could be made to move. For me, the answer that I found, or the kind of direction I ended up moving in, was by using the archetypes of the classical zodiac, the 12 signs of the zodiac, and also the 7 planets, and animating those archetypes as real people.
So are the characters then in some ways types rather than real people, or was the challenge to actually take the signs of the zodiac and the planets and to mould a character, a fully rounded character, within that strict structure?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right to identify that as a problem, because obviously, you know, human beings are much more complicated than mere archetypes. You know, we all have the capacity to play against type, and to surprise ourselves and to surprise the people around us. So that was something that I had to think about while I was making the engine of the book. And contrary maybe to what a lot of people might believe about astrology, there's a lot of incredible psychological richness to be found there. You know, most people understand astrology through newspaper horoscopes. That was certainly the way that I understood astrology before I started researching it. And I didn't realize, for example, that astrology is really all about connections. It's all about what happens when a certain planet, a certain force of influence, which is represented by a planet, comes in contact with a certain sign of the zodiac, and what kind of happens in that intersection.
Then in your own life, outside of the novel, I'll come back to that in a second, but in your own life, do you look specifically at where the planets are going to be at any time and live your life accordingly?
No, I don't actually. I don't think that astrology is very good as a tool for divination. I think that people are quite right to be scornful of astrology when it's used in that way. I think that the future can't be predicted by anyone, and anybody who says that they can do it is probably trying to get a bit of money from you. but I think that as a meaning-making system in its own right, very similar to the way that music or mathematics is a meaning-making system, I think that it's really interesting to study, and also to kind of impose upon past events or on structures that already exist in the world to try and understand them better.
The Luminaries then has people talk about the style of the novel in terms of the 19th century, it being a great 19th century novel with the complex plot and all of these characters. What sort of books did you inspired you in choosing to write in that style or in writing in that style?
Well, when I was researching the book, I was reading a lot. I was trying to read as much 19th century fiction as I could. Wilkie Collins, obviously, his very clear line of inheritance there. George Eliot and Tolstoy and Dostoevsky were very, very huge for me. And Henry James is a writer I, you know, just absolutely adore. So I was trying to read as much as possible in the 19th century, to kind of read my way into the century. I mean, there's certainly no celebrated 19th century literature at all in New Zealand, and of the what there is, I think even scholars of New Zealand literature would agree that nothing's especially good. it's interesting to think about a national literature that's born out of modernism, because it means that all of the generations to come have a very difficult thing to kick against, you know. Well, it means that the lineage then becomes a very different lineage than, say, what you might see in Ireland or in England or elsewhere in the world. But one of the interesting things that presented for me was the opportunity to write New Zealand into a 19th century tradition, because obviously when we think of the 1860s, I don't think very many people would be thinking of the west coast of the South Island of New Zealand.
You've also said that young adult fiction and children's fiction, that you owe a particular debt to them when it came to writing The Luminaries. How would you explain what effect they have had on your writing?
Well, I was very lucky when I was growing up in that my mum was a children's librarian when I was a very young child, and then worked for the National Library of New Zealand as a library advisor when I was a teenager. And so books have always been all around me when I've been growing up. And I think that one thing that you do find among people who are lucky enough to be surrounded by books as young children is that the books that they've read are books that they then carry around with them always. You know, that they, for that reason, I've always held children's literature in very, very high esteem, because it was, you know, the kind of literature that gave me my life's vocation. And I've returned to it at every point in my life since then, and wanted to see whether I can write literature for adults or books for adults that communicate and afford the same pleasures as a book for children does for children.
One of the constant talking points around the Luminaries is the structural aspect, but one of the other constant talking points is its length at 832 pages, I think my particular copy is. Mm-hmm. Had you any idea when you started out just how big a book this was going to be?
No, not at all. And I think that was probably quite a good thing, because I would never have gotten started. I would have been too intimidated by the task. But I think that, you know, this is actually a funny consequence of attempting to write as I was doing in a 19th century style, because by 19th century standards, the book really isn't that long at all. It's just shorter than The Brothers Karamazov, for example. It's shorter than Middlemarch and so on. So I think that, you know, when you do take on a style of any kind, you inherit all parts of that style. You inherit all sorts of unexpected consequences. And one of the reasons why a lot of Victorian novels, especially ones that have a large cast of characters, like as mine does, tend to be long books, is simply because the style and the pace and the method of storytelling needs quite a broad canvas in order to do what it's trying to do.
So the next book then, will we be getting a short 200-page 21st century novel, or are you staying in the 19th?
No, I definitely won't stay in the 19th. Something much shorter, I think, as my publishers have requested. So probably something contemporary.
When will we see that, do you think?
Oh, I'm not sure. The funny thing is I haven't written any fiction since finishing the manuscript of The Luminaries early last year. So I'm just enjoying being blank at the moment and doing a lot of reading and seeing what takes root.
And enjoying the success of the Man Booker Prize, I'm sure, as well. The Luminaries by Eleanor Catton is published by Granta. Eleanor and Rachel Kushner will be in conversation this Saturday night at the Town Hall Theatre in Galway at 8:30 as part of the Coorch International Festival of Literature. We'll be broadcasting from Galway on Friday evening with a special programme dedicated to Coorch. And Rachel Kushner, in fact, will be one of our guests on that programme.